If anyone present would like to have Bible discussions free of charge at a time and place convenient for you, you are invited to give your name and contact information to one of the attendants or simply visit jw.org and fill out an online request for a Bible study. We will be happy to arrange for one of Jehovah's Witnesses to supply you with more details about the Bible's sure promises. Every week, in 114,000 congregations around the earth, Jehovah's Witnesses participate in Bible study program using the Watchtower magazine. Please follow along in your personal copy of the Watchtower as Brother Mario Perron, Circuit Overseer in the Grand Prairie region, presents the summary of this week's material.
We'd like to welcome you to our Watchtower study this week, friends. Commend you for bringing your Watchtower and invite you now to turn to page 8 of your April 15th, 2014 Watchtower. There we find our theme. Do you see the one who is invisible? Our theme verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. He continued steadfast, seeing the one who is invisible. Now take a look at page 2. There we have the purpose of last week's and this week's article. It says at the top of the page, by faith, Moses was able to see more than what appeared to his physical eyes. These articles will examine how we can exercise faith like that of Moses and continue steadfast as seeing the one who is invisible. The three questions that will help us to do just that are on page 8. How will seeing the one who is invisible protect you from fear of man, motivate you to have a full share in the ministry, and also help you to remain steadfast during the great tribulation? So a very exciting Watchtower, friends. Let's get started. Paragraphs 1 and 2. Just imagine now what Jehovah is asking Moses to do in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. He says to Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you will bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, this was not an easy thing for Moses, because Pharaoh wasn't just an ordinary man. He was the king of the world power of that time. And the Egyptians viewed Pharaoh as a god in wisdom and in understanding. And to inspire fear, Pharaoh would have an image of a cobra, as if to strike any enemies that he would have. Now imagine being asked to go in front of a man like that. Moses did what Jehovah asked him, proclaimed his message. The result was Pharaoh was very, very angry. After nine plagues, it got even worse. Because you notice in Exodus 10 and verse 28, Pharaoh says to Moses, make sure that you do not try to see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you will die. Moses says to Pharaoh, well, just before I go, one more thing to tell you. Your firstborn son's going to die. And then he tells the Israelites in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 to 7, to take the blood of a ram, which they considered a god, and splash that blood on the doorposts. Now, when Pharaoh thought of Moses after he did that, do you think that he had warm fuzzies on the inside? Was Moses afraid? That brings us to our theme verse, Hebrews chapter 11, 27, 28. I invite you to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11, It reads, by faith, he left Egypt, but not fearing the anger of the king, for he continued steadfast, as seeing the one who is invisible. By faith he observed the Passover and the splashing of the blood, so that the destroyer might not harm their firstborn. Look at Moses' eyes of faith on the picture on page 8. He is seeing the one who is invisible. That gives him the courage to do what Jehovah asked him, to tell Pharaoh that his firstborn son was going to die, to get the Israelites to splash blood on the doorpost. There's no question in our mind that Moses was a man of faith. But the question is, how about our faith? Do we have a faith like Moses, where we can see the one who is invisible? Well, friends, our watchtower today is going to help us to sharpen our vision of Jehovah God with three questions. Paragraph 3. How did Moses' faith protect him from fear of man? How did Moses exercise faith in God's promises? And how did his faith protect him or strengthen him when he and his people were in peril? Let's start with our first subheading. He did not fear the anger of the king. Now, after Jehovah God asked Moses to go to Pharaoh, he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Was this fear of man? Maybe. Maybe we could understand that, because from a physical perspective, Pharaoh was no match for Moses, or Moses was no match for Pharaoh, rather. Maybe because Pharaoh was a formidable ruler, and Moses could have felt that his life was in Pharaoh's hands. And he would have said to himself, well, I had just left Egypt as a fugitive 40 years ago. So is it really wise for me to go back to Egypt? Am I not just going to make Pharaoh angry? Well, before leaving, Jehovah teaches Moses a very vital principle that we find in Job chapter 28, verse 28. The fear of Jehovah, that is wisdom. And to teach him that vital principle, he contrasts himself as Almighty God with mere humans, with what he said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Who made a mouth for man? Who makes them speechless, deaf, clear-sighted, or blind? Is it not I, Jehovah? So Jehovah's saying here, well, I created everything anyway, so who could you possibly match up against me, a man? Bring it on. We'll see what happens. Moses learned the lesson. He did not need to be afraid. He could be confident that Jehovah would give him everything he needed to proclaim his message. Moses could also have thought of other examples of faith that were courageous, like Abraham, who was protected by Jehovah when Pharaoh wanted to take his wife, Sarah, as his own wife. Or Joseph was given the power to interpret dreams. Or he himself, Moses, was protected when he was a child, when all the newborns were to be thrown in the Nile River. So meditating about this vital principle that Jehovah was teaching him, also thinking about these examples of faith, would have given him the courage to proclaim every message that Jehovah had for him. Now, today, we have examples of faith, our Christian brothers and sisters in modern times, who have Moses-like faith. Ella is an example. In 1949, she's arrested by the KGB, stripped naked and gawked at by young officials. Could you just imagine what that'd be like? So she prays to Jehovah. Jehovah gives her peace of mind, calmness of heart. Then she's put into solitary confinement for 3 days and taunted by these young officials, saying, "We're going to make it so that even the name Jehovah will not be remembered in Estonia. You're going to a camp. Where is your Jehovah?" Does that sound familiar? How does our sister stand up to this persecution? Well, when interrogated, she says, "I have given this matter much thought. I would rather live in prison with my relationship with God intact than to be free and lose his approval." What gave Ella the courage to do that? Well, like Moses, she could see the one who is invisible. And to her, in her eyes of faith, these officials that were in front of her were no match for our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Now notice the question, paragraph 8 and 9, the A question. What is the antidote to fear of man? Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29 and 25. It says, "Trembling at men is a snare, but the one trusting in Jehovah will be protected." The antidote to fear of man is faith in our God. Trusting in him means protection. Trembling at men would be a snare. We don't know what the future holds, friends. It's very likely that we're going to be just like Moses, put in front of very powerful officials, where they try to force us to compromise or even renounce our faith at that moment. What's going to help us to conquer that fear is our faith in our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. We have to think of Jehovah's words in Isaiah 51, verse 12 and 13, where he says, "Why should you be afraid of mortal man who will die, and a son of man who will wither like green grass?" Powerful words. Meditating on that will help us to conquer any fear. And if perhaps we're ever tempted to yield to our fears, now or even later, we need to focus our attention on our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Think of how Jehovah acts in behalf of his people. He's done it for Moses. He's going to do it for us too. And if we're ever in front of powerful officials, we can think of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, 18 to 20, where he says, "Don't be anxious as to what you're going to speak, for what you are to speak will be given to you in that hour." Friends, we want to strengthen our faith in Jehovah. View him as a real person. Doing that is going to help us to overcome any fear of man, because we're going to recognize that Jehovah our God is more powerful than any man. That brings us to our second subheading. He exercised faith in God's promises. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 to 7, Jehovah gives Moses some very unusual instructions. The Israelites were to take a male sheep or a goat, slaughter it, and splash the blood on the doorway of their homes. Now, how did Moses feel about giving those instructions to the Israelites? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, which we read, "By faith Moses observed the Passover and the splashing of the blood, so that the destroyer, an angel, might not harm their firstborn. Why did Moses respond this way? Simply put, Moses had faith in Jehovah God's promises. He knew that when Jehovah said that the angel, the destroyer, would come, that would happen. Therefore, the first thing he did, even though his sons were way out in Midian, away from danger, Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 says that promptly Moses gathered the elders and instructed them to slaughter the Passover sacrifice. Now, this point teaches us a very powerful lesson. Because we too are under angelic direction today, proclaiming Jehovah God's message. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 says, we are on the hour of judgment is upon us. So we need to tell people to fear God and to give Him glory. It is now the time for people to be free from Babylon the Great if they don't want to share part of her plagues. That's why the other sheep and the anointed are busy begging individuals to become reconciled to God. Now notice the question, very important question in paragraph 13. What will nurture our desire to share the good news? What's going to nurture our desire is our conviction, our faith that the hour of judgment has in fact arrived, because Jehovah said that it did. The other point that can help us to nurture our desire is the fact that the preaching of the good news is urgent. And when Jehovah says that it is urgent, He's not exaggerating. So with our eyes of faith, we need to see what is described in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Those four angels, poised and ready, holding back those winds of the great tribulation. And when Jehovah God says, let go, they will. At that moment, at that hour of judgment, many people will die. See, just meditating about that, friends, the urgency of our work will give us all the motivation in the world to get out into our ministry. Help people while there's still time. Like our sister in the picture on page 11. Hey, take a look at her eyes of faith. What does she see? Well, she's seeing those angels holding back those winds. And she's also seeing with her eyes of faith the fact that there's people in her territory that need saving while there's still time. So that motivates her then to get out her Bible teach book and her magazines, and she's going to go and help these people. Friends, this is our responsibility. It's clearly stated in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. I invite you to turn there with me. Ezekiel chapter 3. It says, Son of man, I have appointed you as watchman to the house of Israel. And when you hear a word from my mouth, then you must warn them from me. When I say to someone wicked, you will surely die, but you do not warn him, and you fail to speak in order to warn the wicked one to turn from his wicked course so that he may stay alive, he will die for his error because he is wicked. But I will ask his blood back from you. But if you warn someone wicked, and he does not turn back from his wickedness and from his wicked course, he will die for his error, but you will certainly save your own life. It's about blood guilt. Saving lives. Lives of people in our territories and our own life. But in addition to that, it's also because we love Jehovah. We love our neighbor. We're like the Samaritan in Jesus' illustration. Samaritan was moved with pity for the man that was robbed. Priest and the Levite, they walk on the opposite side of the street. Can we imagine our sister doing that? Making all this effort to help her neighbor. She wants to avoid blood guilt, but then she gets out on her ministry and she's working the opposite side of the street. No, she wouldn't do that. And we wouldn't do that either, because we love people. We love Jehovah God, and that motivates us. We have faith in Jehovah God's promises. That makes the preaching of the good news very urgent to save people while there's still time. Now that brings us to the third subheading. Very exciting subheading, friends. I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now, the setting here in this chapter is the Israelites have left Egypt. They're now on the edge of the Red Sea. And the Egyptians are on hot pursuit. Now notice verse 10. Pharaoh gets closer. And the Israelites raise their eyes, and they see the Egyptians pursuing them. And the Israelites became terrified and began to cry out to Jehovah. Verses 11 and 12. Why did you bring us here? Let's go back and serve the Egyptians. Why is it that you get the impression here that the Israelites were surprised? Especially when we consider in verse 4 that Jehovah warned them, told them that that was going to happen. He said, I'm going to allow Pharaoh's heart to become obstinate and he's going to chase after you. So why is it that when that's happening, they're like, oh, why is this happening? I'm scared. Problem was, is the Israelites could only see their circumstance with physical eyes. All they could see is this impassable Red Sea in front of them. Behind them, they have 600 war chariots with all sorts of horses and men and whatever else that they had. And now to lead them, they have this 80-year-old man with his stick. Now notice the difference with our man of faith, Moses. Verse 13, 14. Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation of Jehovah that he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will never, ever see again. Jehovah himself will fight for you, and you will keep silent. Inspiring words. Why is it that Moses could do what the Israelites could not? Moses was a man of faith. He could see the one who is invisible, and this Egyptian army, however big they were, was no match for his heavenly Father Jehovah. Now these words inspired the Israelites. They followed Moses on a dry bed through the Red Sea to the other side. Egyptians followed. We know in the account Jehovah closed the waters over the Egyptians. Every one of the Egyptians died. Now notice verse 31 of that same chapter. Israel also saw the great power that Jehovah wielded against the Egyptians, and the people began to fear Jehovah, to put faith in Jehovah and in his servant Moses. The people began to put faith in Jehovah. It's easy to put faith after the fact. Harder to be like Moses, be a man of faith before the fact. Now this account, friends, teaches us an incredibly powerful lesson. because we are going to be just like the Israelites. At the Great Tribulation, just think of it, what we're saying is Babylon the Great is destroyed, gone. They're bigger, more numerous than we are. And then the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 38 that our condition is going to be vulnerable. We're going to be the land of unprotected settlements, unprotected by walls, bars, or gates. It's going to appear that we have zero chance of survival. At that moment, who are we going to be like? Are we going to be like our man of faith, Moses? Or are we going to be surprised, like the Israelites? The quality of our faith right now will determine how we will stand at that moment. And friends, we have no reason to be like the Israelites. Notice the question, paragraph 18. It asks, explain why we can be steadfast during the Great Tribulation. Well, it's because we know the outcome. Ezekiel 38, 18 to 23 says that on that day, when God invades the land of Israel, my great rage will flare up, and my zeal and the fire of my fury I will speak. Verse 23 says that the nations shall have to know that my name is Jehovah. Jehovah's going to save us. It's going to be a glorious day, as it says in Joel 2:31-32. The great and awe-inspiring day of Jehovah. We're going to see the salvation of Jehovah. It's not about the outcome. It's about our faith in the outcome. In the meantime, what we need to do is prepare. Endeavor to be like Moses. Moses was an extraordinary man, a man of faith used so powerfully by Jehovah God. It's as if that Jehovah knew Moses' faith face to face. And we might say to ourselves, well, I'm not as extraordinary as Moses. And it's true. We're not. But it doesn't change the fact that we can have that close relationship, because Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, if we constantly take notice of Jehovah in all our ways, he's going to make our paths straight. What we need to do now is strengthen our relationship with Jehovah God through regular study and prayer. Let's review our main points. Page 8. How would you answer these questions? How will seeing the one who is invisible protect you from fear of man? The answer is the antidote to fear of man is faith in our God, Jehovah. If we see Jehovah as real, we're going to recognize that no man is a match to our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. How will seeing the one who is invisible motivate you to have a full share in the ministry? Well, because we're going to recognize that the hour of judgment is upon us, and Jehovah is not exaggerating when he's saying that our ministry is urgent to save people while there's still time. How will seeing the one who is invisible help you to remain steadfast during the great tribulation? Because we have faith in the outcome. We're going to see the salvation of Jehovah before our very eyes. Seeing that with eyes of faith is going to help us to remain steadfast during that great tribulation. Friends, let's strengthen our faith now and be like Moses. Continue to see the one who is invisible.
Thank you, Brother Parent, for such a well-thought-out review of that timely information.